Okay, so we're going to continue where we left off on page 4. We've only got 11 pages to do, so I wouldn't worry. So I remember that one day I was fusing myself with the Holy Divine Will, and I looked at the sky, and it was pouring rain. I felt great pleasure in seeing water pour down upon the earth. And my sweet Jesus, moving my interior with unspeakable love and tenderness, told me, "My daughter Louisa, in those drops of water that you see pouring down from heaven, there is my divine will. It flows rapidly together with the water. It runs to quench the thirst of the creatures, to descend into the human bowels and into their veins, to refresh them, and to become life of the creatures. Bring them my kiss and my love. It descends to water the earth to fundicate it and to prepare the food for my creatures. It descends for many other needs, many other their needs. My divine will wants to have life in all created things, in order to give give celestial and natural life to all creatures." So here we see how God is working. Okay, number one, God is it's all fiat. Everything around us is fiat. So what do we hear? Oh, it's too hot. It's too cold. It's too rainy. No, everything is the "I love you" of God, and that's why I said we've got to stop being negative. We've got to be positive. When it's raining, fiat, great. When it's snowing, fiat, great. When it's sunny, fiat. When it's hot, fiat. Everything has to be for the glory of God. And again, our job is to be the salt of the earth, to be the light to the nations. This is what a Catholic is supposed to be. So all this complaining really has to end. We really have to begin to live a life of love. We have to see the "I love you" of God in all created things. Jesus says, my divine will wants to have life in all created things in order to give the celestial and natural life to all creatures. However, though it descends festival and full of love for everyone, it does not receive a fair return on the part of souls. It remains on an empty stomach. My daughter, your will too, fused in mine, flows in that water that pours down from heaven. You see how we're supposed to participate in God? Our will, fused with God's, flows from heaven to earth. It's the "I love you" of God. Why did God give us lungs? We breathe in the "I love you" and we breathe out the "I love you." It comes into us and then we let it go back to God. It's the blood pumping into the heart. It pumps in and it pumps out. The steps. One step at a time. We say, "I love you," and God says, "I love you." And He says, "I love you," and we say, "I love you." It's to begin to live this love of God. No longer the life of earth. Our Lady tells us that. She says, "I'm going to teach you the way of heaven and no longer the way of earth." So Jesus says, it does not receive a fair return on the part of creatures. It remains on an empty stomach. My daughter, too. Will you too fuse in my will, flow in that water that pours down from heaven? Run together with me wherever it goes. Never leave it alone. And give the divine will the return of your love and gratitude for everyone, past, present, and future. But as he was saying this, my eyes remained enchanted. I could not move them from that pouring water. My will was flowing together with it. And in that water I could see the hand of my Jesus multiplying into many. Again, as Catholics we understand this. The host multiplying in order to bring water to everyone with God's own hands. Who can say what I felt within me? Jesus alone can say it. He is who is the author of it. And who can say about the many things of fusing my will and his most holy divine volition? For now I have said enough. If Jesus wants me to continue another time, he will give me the words and the grace to say more, and I will start again. In addition, I was saying to my Jesus, "Tell me, my love, what is this void that comes before my mind when I fuse myself in your most holy divine will? Who is this little child coming out from me? And why does she feel an irresistible force to come to your throne and place her little axe into the divine womb, almost to make him feast, to make him a feast?" And my sweet Jesus, all goodness, told me, "My daughter Louisa, the empty space is my unrequited will placed at your disposal." See, everything has been given to Louisa. We have, I told you, her titles just astonish me. As the Vatican begins to read this, and, you know, they are reading it, everything they know, everything has to change. It's not just doing the will of God. It's living in the will of God that God is asking. Everything is placed at your disposal, which should be filled with so many acts, as many as the creatures would have done if they had all fulfilled our most holy divine will. This immense void that you see, which represents our divine will that came out from our divinity for the benefit of all in creation, to delight everyone and everything. Therefore, as a consequence, all creatures should have filled this void with the return of their acts by giving their human wills to their Creator God. See, God gave us the human will so that He could dwell there. He says, I gave the universe for man, but the human will is for God. And when Adam did his human will, he kicked God out. And we've been living miserable lives ever since. And again, if we go to confession, we know how miserable our lives are. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. That's where we are. We're really good at sinning. So what God is saying is, okay, this is enough. Now I want to reign in you. I want to breathe in your breathing. I want to walk in your walking. I want to talk and you're talking. God wants to reign. So Jesus says, the void, all creatures should have filled this void with the return of their acts by giving their human wills back to God. But since they did not do so, they saddened us, triune God, with the most grave offenses that can possibly be imagined. This is why we triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have called you, Louisa, with a special mission. So that this void may be returned and filled with all that the other souls should have given us. See, everything's going to be fulfilled. Everything. And Jesus says, Louisa, you're going to do it, and if you're the only one that does it, we will be satisfied. But I want to give this to the little children of the Holy Divine Will to do with you, Louisa. And this is the reason for which we disposed you, Louisa, with a long chain of graces, and then asked if you, Louisa, wanted to live in our holy divine will, and you, Louisa, answered with a fiat, a yes, firm and traceable, binding your human will to our throne, and you did not want to recognize it anymore because the human will and the divine will do not reconcile and cannot live together. That yes, that fiat of your human will exists, is tightly bound to our divine throne, and this is why your soul, like a little child reborn in our divine volition, is drawn before the Supreme Majesty, because you, Louisa, rise up towards us. Your human will, which is already ours, precedes you, and you feel our divine will attracting you like a powerful magnet. So Jesus says, the two wills can't work together. The human will and the divine will cannot work together. The human will has to be surrendered. Only then can the divine will reign in the human will. The human will can reign, embrace the divine will. So what the Lord is asking of us is He's really asking us to begin to live a life of God. Now, when we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We belong to God. When we were confirmed, God filled us open to it, the 12 gifts of the Holy Spirit and the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit and the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. It depends on how docile we are, of how much these gifts are reigning in us. I mean, they're there at our disposal. So God is saying, now I'm going to bring about a new beginning for mankind. This is why Our Lady says there's going to be the new heavens and the new earth. The things of the old are going to disappear. Everything that the world has embraced to want is going to be gone. It has to go the way of the world. That's why Jesus says, if you have your treasure in heaven, if your heart is in heaven, there's your treasure. See, everything of the world is going to be gone. Everything. St. Thomas Aquinas says that this table is not as real as eternity, because this table will turn to dust someday. It will be gone. Eternity is forever. And that's what we were made for. We were made to live eternally. So our Lord is asking us, pleading with us, to go to little Louisa, to learn this doctrine of the divine will, to study it, to put it into practice, to then be the light of the world, be the salt of the earth, so that the whole world will change. This is what's coming. Jesus says, instead of looking at your human will, you, Luisa, interest yourself only in bringing onto our lap everything you did in our divine will as the greatest homage which befits us, Triune God, and as the return most pleasing to us, God. Your indifference to your human will, as you have already lost sight of it, and our divine will alone living in you, Luisa, makes us, Triune God, festive. Your little acts done in our divine will bring us, Triune God, the joys of the whole of creation. It seems that everything smiles at us, and all created things make us make feast. And in seeing that you, Luisa, descend from our throne with not even the slightest attention to your human will, which is though lost within ours, and in seeing you going back to the earth, taking our divine will, is an infinite joy for us, Triune God. This is why I, Jesus, say to you, Luisa, be attentive upon our divine will, because there is much to do in it. The more you do, the greater the feast you make us, Triune God. And our volition will pour out in torrents inside and outside of you. And it's the same thing for us. What God's bringing about is a new beginning for mankind. Everyone will be Catholic. Everyone will be, because that's the universal life that God breathed into Adam. Everyone will want this Catholic life. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. You know, so when we don't listen to the Catholic faith, then God can't use us. If we're not obedient and faithful, we are just like Adam, disobedient and unfaithful. God can't give us this gift. This is why it's so necessary. Be Catholic. You know, wear your scapular, pray your rosary, use holy water. And if you can use exercise holy water, it's very powerful. Use the sacraments and sacramentals. You know, spend time in front of our Eucharistic Lord. See, God is going to change the world. And he needs us to do that. He's going to do it, but he's given us the opportunity to work with Luisa, so it's accomplished. That's why he says, be attentive. Be attentive to the divine will. There is much to do in it. And the more that you do, the greater the feast you make for God. And then our holy divine will pour out in torrents inside and outside of you. God has great plans, and he wants to give us more than we could ever imagine. Volume 17, May 17th, 1925. After I had confession, the confessor, hear what is written above, and the date of May 10th, on infusing myself with the divine volition, he was not satisfied and ordered me to continue to write about the way to fuse myself in the holy divine will. So out of obedience and for fear that my Jesus might be even sadly disappointed, I continue. Now I add that as the immense void comes before my mind, infusing myself in the supreme volition, the little child begins her round again. Rising up high, she wants to repay her God for all the love God had for all the creatures in creation. So the first thing in the round is we want to enter into heaven, okay, while on earth, to repay God for all the I love yous of every atom, every animal, vegetable, and mineral, for every leaf on a tree, for every blade of grass, for every grain of sand, for every drop of water. We want to thank God for these I love yous. Each one has an infinite amount of I love you in everything that's around us. If we could hear the I love yous out there, we would be in ecstasy. That's how much God loves us. He loves us for everything that is created around us. He wants us to enter into this I love you. And again, you know how you love someone, how you feel inside. Well, you're going to feel the I love you of God coming towards you, which you have never experienced before. The love of God is so intense, it's so powerful, that all that you want to do is be consumed in that I love you. That's what the saints have taught us. John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena. Let me be burned in the burning holocaust of your love. Let me be annihilated in the flames of your heart. Let me be consumed in the burning furnace of your charity. We want to die in these flames. They're so beautiful. The flames of God's love. This is what's coming upon earth. And our God is asking us, pleading with us, to give our fiat. Let it be done as you say. So he's asking us right now to surrender everything. That's why I've said almost in every talk here before, if you love something, give it up. If you love chocolate, give it up. You can have no earthly loves. Your love has to be totally for God, because that's where we're going. It has to be eternal. It has to be infinite. We have to enter into this I love you. So if you love sports, give it up. If you love TV, give it up. If you love chocolate, give it up. Really, you have to come to the point of being freed of everything so that you can embrace eternity. That's what's coming. Jesus said, he says very clearly, Now I add that as the immense void comes before my mind and infusing myself in the supreme volition, the little child begins her round again and again, rising high up. She wants to repay her God for all the love that he had had for creatures and creation. She wants to honor him as the God of all things. So she goes around the stars, and each flickering light I impress my I love you. Glory to my Creator. Every atom of the light of the sun that comes down, my I love you, and glory. The whole expanse of the heavens between the distance of one step and another, my I love you, and glory. The warbling of the bird and the beating of its wings, I love you, and glory to my God, my Creator. In the blade of grass which sprouts from the earth, in the flower that blooms, in the fragrance that descends, I love you, and glory. On the peak of the mountains and the depths of the valleys, I love you and glory. I wander through every heart of the souls, everyone, past, present, and future, as though wanting to enclose myself and shout from within each soul to every heart, I love you, glory to my Creator. And then as I gathered everything together in such a way that everything gives return of love and recognizes the glory for all that God has done in creation, I go to his throne and I say to him, Supreme Majesty and Creator of all things, this little child comes into your arms to tell you that all of creation, in the name of all creatures, gives you not only return of love, but also the glory, the just glory, for the so many things that you, God, created out of love for us. In your divine will, in the immense empty space, I wander everywhere so that all things may glorify you, God, love you, God, bless you, God. And now that I have put in relation the love between God and soul, which the human will had broken, as well as the glory that everyone owed you, let your divine will descend upon earth. Let the divine will bind and strengthen all relations between God and souls, so that all things may return to the original order established by you, Triune God. Therefore, hurry, do not delay any longer. Don't you see how the earth is full of evils? Your divine will alone can stop this current and save it. Your divine will knows, your divine will known and ruling in all hearts. So you can see what Luis is doing. She's going around through all creation, loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God in the holy divine will, so that God will be God again. He will rule as King and Lord and Savior and Master. This is what it means to be Catholic. This is what it means to go to Holy Mass, to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to letting God be the Lord of our lives, the Lord of our families. All worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity is surrendered to God. Any difficulties, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, financial difficulties are given to God. You're in charge, Lord, and I trust you. I believe in you. I have hope in you. I have confidence. True hope, Catholic hope, is confidence. It's complete trust in God. He is going to do this. We are certain. It's certitude. We are certain that God is going to answer our prayers. Jesus didn't say ask. He said, ask, believe that you receive, it is yours, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. He didn't say, ask, and possibly I might give it to you. He says, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. How much more does God want his children, his Catholics, in front of him, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to come to him so that he can answer their prayers? Again, those that pray go to heaven. Those that don't pray go to hell. After this, I feel that my office is still not complete, so I descend to the bottom of the empty space in order to prepare Jesus for the work of redemption. Now we're going to hear a little bit about the round of redemption. And as though finding all that he did in act, and I want to give God my return for all the acts that all creatures should have done in waiting for him and receiving him upon the earth. So it's for the 4,000 years of waiting for Jesus and the 2,000 years since we received Jesus. I mean, it's to thank God, to praise God, to love God, to adore God, to worship God. And that's our life. When you do this, you are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. You are participating in divinity. He says very clearly. As though wanting to transform all of myself into the love for Jesus, I go back to my refrain and I say, I love you, in the act of descending from heaven into to be incarnated in the Blessed Virgin Mary. I impress my I love you in the act of being conceived in the most pure womb of the Virgin Mary. I love you in the first drops of blood which you was formed in your humanity. I love you in the first beating of your heart to mark all your heartbeats with my I love you. I love you in your first breath. I love you in your first pains. I love you in the first tears that you shed in the maternal womb. I want to return your prayers, your reparations, your offerings with my I love you. I love you in your birth. I love you in the cold that you suffer. I love you in each drop of milk that you suckled from your most holy mama. I want to fill with my I love yous the clothes with which your mama swaddled you, and lay my I love you on the ground in which your mama placed you in the manger, as your most tender limbs felt the hardness of the hay. But more than the hay of hay, the hardness of hearts. My I love you in each of your wailings and the tears of your sufferings of your childhood. I make my I love you flow in all the relations and communications and love you had the love you had with your Immaculate Mama. I love you in her dearest kisses, in each word that you say, in the food that you took, and the steps that you took, and the water that you drank. I love you in the work that you did with your hands. I love you in all the acts you did during your hidden life. And I seal my I love you in each one of your interior acts and the pains you suffered. I lay my I love you upon the paths you covered and the air you breathed and all the sermons you made during your public life. My I love you flows in the power of the miracles you made and the sacraments you instituted. And everything, oh my Jesus, even the most intimate fibers of your heart, I impress my I love you for me and for everyone, past, present, and future. Your will makes everything present to me, and nothing do I want to leave in which my I love you is not impressed. Your little daughter of your holy divine will feels this duty, and it becomes our duty as well. What is our duty? To fall in love with God. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. That has to be our breath, our heartbeat. You take a step, I love you, God. You look at the stars, I love you, God. See, our life has to become a life of love. That's the Catholic life. We look at Jesus in the tabernacle. It's an I love you continuously. We look at Our Lady in her Immaculate Heart. It's always an I love you. And again, our job is to return that I love you. That's our job. And as you return that I love you, how happy you feel. Louisa says, okay. Your little daughter of your holy divine will feels this duty. There is nothing else that she can do that you may have at least my little I love you for everything. You did for me and for all. Therefore, I love you follows you in all the pains of your passions, in the spit, the scorn, the insults they gave you. My I love you seals every drop of the blood that you shed, every blow that you received, every wound that formed in your body, each thorn that transfixed your head, the bitter pains of the crucifixion, the words you pronounced on the cross. Thanks. Up to your last breath with the intention to impress my I love you. I want to enclose all your life, all your acts with my I love you. I want you to touch, see, and feel my continuous I love yous. My I love you will never leave you. Your very divine will is the life of my I love you. So here, again, we are so self-centered, so selfish, so miserable that we don't know how to love. You can't get to heaven without being in love. That's what purgatory is for. Purgatory is to purge you. of all your misery. So Jesus is asking us now, get rid of your misery now. Live this life of I love you. It's what's the I love you? It's peace, joy, and happiness. And again, Jesus says, those that are peaceful, joyful, and happy are anticipating heaven. Those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative are anticipating hell. They can't go there. They can't go to heaven until they're purged. And again, St. Thomas Aquinas teaches us that the flames of purgatory are the flames of hell, but they're not eternal. I don't want to go there. I don't want to even get near there. I want to go right to heaven. So Jesus is saying to us, then begin to live heaven now. Stop this human misery. Stop this human inadequacy. Change. This is what we have to do. If you're watching TV, if you're into sports, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You're wasting your time. You're not doing what God is asking. You have to really eliminate a lot of things. And again, either we eliminate them or God is going to eliminate them from us. Either we say yes to God or God's going to say, okay, I need you, so I'm going to get rid of it for you. And that's very painful. My first pastor always said to me, you can do it the easy way, or, you know, he goes, you can do it the hard way, or you can do it my way. And so I learned very quickly, he was always right. And that's with God. You can do it the hard way, or you can do it God's way. God's way is the easy way. It's always fiat. And it's always a surprise what God is going to do. Like yesterday, I got into my car and I turned the key and the battery's dead. And I go, I can't believe this. The battery never dies. But what happened was I was moving the car and I left the key in the car that night before with it on. I've never done that. But see the devil wants trouble. So what happens is it's just God. You have to take care of this, and he did. God bless God. He's great. But do you know what this little child wants? That is the divine will of your Father, which you love so much, which you did during your whole life upon earth, making it known to all creatures, that so that all may love the divine will, all may fulfill your divine will on earth as it is in heaven. This little child, Louisa, would want to surpass you in love so that you may give your divine will to all creatures. Please make this poor little one happy, who wants nothing but what you, God, want, that your divine will be known and reigned upon earth. So we want the same thing. We want God's will to be known and reign. We want it to reign in us first. Jesus says, the divine will has to be known. Well, who does it have to be known to? It's not your family. It's not your friends. It's not your neighbors. It's not your coworkers. It's not your parishioners. They don't want this. Well, who wants this is you. So you have to begin to live this. You have to begin to live this. How do you live it? By reading, studying, and putting into practice. Now, there's a lot of great books, like I said. There's a lot of great movies. There's a lot of great stuff. But nothing compares to the divine will. If you can make the divine will your everything, how lucky you are, how blessed you are, how happy you will be. See, God wants this now because it's going to happen. He wants you to be part of this, but if you don't want to, he'll say, fine, I can't interfere with your freedom. So you read. Okay, so he says, now I believe that obedience will be happy in some way, though it is true that in many things I had to make a few jumps, otherwise I would never end. Fusing myself with the divine volition is a springing out and every tiny thing I hear and see, even every one offense given to my Jesus, is an occasion for me for a new way and new fusions in his most holy divine will. So, okay, somebody annoys you. Now you can go on complaining and being negative and miserable and gossiping and hateful, or you can say, Lord, bless them, fiat. May all difficulties be erased by this great gift of the Holy Divine Will. And you're full of peace. If not, I've told you the story before about that woman who came in carrying a dead man on her shoulders. and threw the dead man in front of me and said, you know what this guy did to me? You know what this guy did to my family? And she hated him. And at the end, I said, well, you got to forgive him. She says, never, never. And she threw the dead man back on her shoulders and walked out. You got to forgive. If you can't forgive, you have to spend time in purgatory or go to hell. You have to forgive. My spiritual director, I've told this before, but my spiritual director, when he was in Switzerland after World War II, he ran into some German-speaking perfect Italian. And he said to him, how do you know this language? And he goes, well, I was the commandant of this area in Rome during World War II. And then the guy recognized, my spiritual director recognized that this is the man who executed his family. He was the German officer. And he realized this and he said, do you know the Trevassis? And he said, yes. And he said, you killed them. And he said, yes. So here is my spiritual director facing the man who killed his parents. He ran away. My spiritual director ran away for 2 weeks and prayed. He didn't know whether he was going to get a gun to kill him or not. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And he came back and he became friends with this man. And he said that you cannot forgive somebody who has killed a member of your family. He says, you have to have an exchange of hearts with Jesus. You have to give up your human misery and to embrace the divine. And that's what the divine will is about. This German officer became a Catholic on his deathbed. He received the sacraments. I mean, God wants everybody saved, no matter what sins you have committed. He needs us to turn back to Him. And He has now given us the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. Our job is to say, Fiat, let it be done to me as you say, as you want. To really embrace what St. Louis de Montfort said is going to happen. The greatest saints in the history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done but what God has done for them. Our job is to read this. Embrace this. Because nobody else in your family is going to do it. I can guarantee you. This is for you. And then it's for them through you. See, God wants everybody in the kingdom. And everybody is living on earth as if this is the only world that we have. We are not to live here. We are to live in the Garden of Eden. And you know, in Hebrew, what Eden means in Hebrew is pleasure. That's what Eden means, pleasure. And so what everybody on earth is doing is looking for earthly pleasure. They're not preparing for eternal pleasure, which is the Garden of Eden. Our job is to let go of the things that we want on earth in order to embrace the things of heaven. This is what the Lord is asking of us. Nothing less than that. So God is going to give us occasions for new ways and new fusions in His most holy divine will. Now I continue saying that my sweet Jesus told me, my daughter Louisa, to all you have said on fusing yourself in my holy divine will, another application must be added, that is, of fusing yourself in order of grace in all that the Sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, has done, and listen to this, and will do to those who are to be sanctified. That's us. See, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is coming. Furthermore, while we, the three divine persons, remain always united and working, if creation is related to the Father, redemption to the Son, the fiat voluntas tua was attributed to the Holy Spirit, and it is exactly the fiat voluntas tua that the divine Spirit will display His work. You do it when, in coming before the Supreme Majesty, you say, I come to give love in return for everything which the Sanctifier does for those who are to be sanctified. That's us. I come to enter into the order of grace to give you, God, glory, to return the return of divine love, as if all had become saints, to repair you, God, for all the oppositions and lack for correspondence to grace. And as much as you can, in our holy divine will, you search for the acts of grace of the Spirit Sanctifier in order to make your own his sorrow, his secret moans, his anguishing sighs in the depths of the hearts, and seeing him unwelcomed and since the first act he does is to bring our divine will as the complete act of their sanctification, on seeing himself rejected, he moans with inexpressible moans. And in your childlike simplicity, you say to him, Spirit Sanctifier, hurry, I implore you, I beg you, let everyone know your holy divine will, so that in knowing the divine will, they may love the divine will and welcome your prime act of their complete sanctification, which is your most holy divine will. So the complete act of sanctification, what God's going to bring upon earth, is the divine will, the reigning, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, the fulfillment of the Our Father. We've prayed a century for this to the Holy Spirit. This is what's coming. Okay, God is going to bring about a great transformation of the face of the earth. Wait till you see what's coming. My daughter Louisa, we the three divine persons are inseparable and distinct. In this way, we want to manifest to the human generations our works for them. Okay, this is through Louisa. While remaining united within ourselves, each one of us wants to manifest individually his love, his work for all the souls, past, present, and future. Jesus' explanation of the round. Okay, so, and this is volume 16, September 14th, 1923. This is the Feast of the Corpus Triumph of the Cross. I was thinking of how all things rotate around the sun, the earth, ourselves, all creatures, the sea, the plants, and some, everything. And we rotate around the sun. And because we rotate around the sun, we are illumined and we receive its heat. So it pours its burning rays upon all by rotating around it. And we and the whole of creation enjoy its light and receive part of the effects and goods which the sun contains. Now, how many beings do not rotate around the divine sun? Everyone does. All the angels, the saints, men, and all created things. Even our Queen Mama. Does she perhaps not have the first round in which, rapidly spinning around, she absorbs all the reflections of the eternal sun? Now, while I was thinking about this, my divine Jesus moved in my interior. Now that's where, see, that's, this is important. Where is Jesus? He's in the interior of Louisa Picaretta. This is God. God wants us to know where Jesus is. Jesus moved in my interior and squeezed me all to himself, and he told me, daughter Louisa, this was exactly the purpose for which I, Jesus, created Adam, that he, Adam, would rotate around me, and I, God, being at the center of his rotation like a sun, was to reflect in him my divine light, my divine love, my divine likeness, and all my divine happiness. And every round of his, I, God, was to give him ever new contentments, new beauties, new burning arrows of divine love. So every time you see new, it means God. God wants to fill us with new. Heaven is not boring. St. Thomas Aquinas calls it the awe of God. You sit there and you just go, oh, for all eternity, how beautiful, how beautiful. Before Adam sinned, my divinity was not hidden, because by rotating around me, Adam was my reflection. See, image and likeness of God. See, we have the image of God through baptism. The likeness of God is through this gift of the divine will. God wants to bring us back to his likeness, to do what God does. See, God breathes into us a divine life. He wants us to do what he does, breathe out a divine life. It's not us. It's him in us that's doing it. He wants to reign in us, be Lord of our life. So he says, so it was through Adam was my reflection, therefore Adam was my little light. So it was as though natural that I, Triune God, being the great sun and the little light, would receive the reflection of my light. But as soon as Adam sinned, he stopped spinning around me, and this little light became dark, and he became blind and lost the light to be able to see my divinity in his mortal flesh. And as much as a creature is capable of, so much so that in coming to redeem man, I, Jesus, took mortal flesh in order to be seen, not only because man had sinned with the flesh, and therefore I was to expiate the flesh, but because he lacked the eyes to be able to see my divinity. In fact, my divinity, which dwelled within my humanity, was able to unleash like lightnings and flashes only a few rays of divine light from my divinity. Then, seeing what great evil sin is for man, it is to lose his rotation around his God, to annul the purpose of creation, to be transformed by its light into darkness, from beautiful into ugly. It is such a great evil that with all my redemption, I, Jesus, was unable to restore him the eye to be able to see my divinity in his mortal flesh. But only when this flesh of man decomposes and pulverizes by death will rise again on the day of judgment. That would happen if the whole creation would fail in doing its rotation. What would happen if the whole creation would fail in doing its rotation around the sun? All things would be turned upside down. They would lose their light, their harmony, their beauty. Each one would bump against each other. And even the sun, and even if the sun were there, since nothing would rotate around it, the sun would be as though dead for the whole of creation. Now, because of original sin, man lost his rotation in his Creator, and therefore he lost order, dominion over himself and light. At every time he sins, not only does he not rotate around his God, but not even around the goods of redemption, which, like a new sun, came to bring him forgiveness, refuge, and salvation. But do you know who is the one who never ceases around? It's Louisa. Louisa's the soul who does my most holy divine will. Louisa lives in the divine will. And as usual, Louisa never stops. Louisa receives all the reflections of my holy humanity and also the flashes of light of my divinity. Okay, so this is the reason why our God wants us to know Louisa Picaretta. She possesses this gift, and God wants to give this gift to us. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Be back when you hear the bells.